You're listening to the So You Think You're Intuitive podcast, a podcast to help you reactivate, grow, and trust your intuition so you can live a more empowered and connected life. Join me, Natalie Miles, spiritual mentor and psychic medium, every Wednesday for inspired conversations, guidance, and practical tips on how you can work with your intuition in your everyday life. Because who doesn't want to trust their intuition more? Welcome back to So You Think You're Intuitive. I'm Natalie Miles, taking you on this journey to reactivate and trust your intuition and become a conscious intuitive. Hello and welcome to this final episode of 2019. How on earth is it the last couple of weeks of 2019? This year has flown by. So much has changed. It has been a tough year, a transformational year. So much has come up. I can't believe we're on the verge of 2020. I'm excited for next year. There are a lot of exciting projects that are happening in 2020. And I don't know if you felt it, but the energy of the last couple of weeks has been, wrapping things up, getting things prepared. This year, I'm not going away. I'm staying in Vancouver for Christmas. So just going to have a really quiet time, going to chill, going to paint, going to draw, going to get creative. Going to go to a float tank and do some floating. It's just going to be a really chilled time. This week we have solstice as well. Solstice is on the 21st. It is the longest day of the year in the southern hemisphere and the shortest day of the year in the northern hemisphere, and represents the start of winter. And as I shared in last week's episode of the podcast, for me, this is the time that really feels like New Year, more so than January 1st. For me, solstice is kind of like my New Year, so I'm kind of getting set and prepared for that. In this week's newsletter, I am going to be sharing a solstice card spread to do on solstice. And I'm going to be sharing in the newsletter an in-depth summary of my 2019 and what I've learned from the collective themes and my own personal themes that have come up. And it's going to come out this Friday, Friday 20th. So if you would like to receive the solstice card spread and my sum up of 2019 and some of the 2020 message a bit early, make sure you're signed up to my newsletter. It only goes out to my newsletter. There'll be a link in the show notes of how you can sign up. So if you're interested in that, make sure you sign up by Friday 20th of December. And my newsletter, more so than ever in 2020, is going to be a place where I'm going to be writing more, sharing more, and building the community. So make sure you're signed up to the newsletter. And it's the place where the invitation goes out and the booking link goes out for the readings for my one-on-one client session. So if you want a one-on-one client session in 2020, the links only go out to my newsletter. Also, this evening, if you're listening on Wednesday 18th, join me for my Magnetize for 2020 online circle. This is going to be the final monthly online circle for 2019. And this is going to be a really special circle. We're going to be clearing our energy field and rebalancing our energetic body ready for 2020. We're going to be reflecting on the journey of 2019 and what our soul has been learning. We're going to release and cut any cords. We're going to connect to the solstice energy that's coming up, and basically we're going to be really magnetizing our vision for 2020 and getting set for the year ahead. So If this is something that you would like to join, head to the link in my show notes. And if you can't join live, there is a replay that goes out to everyone. So if you can't join live, sign up anyway, do the replay. The replay is the perfect thing to do over the holidays as we move into New Year's and the start of January. This circle will really help you navigate the energy and, yeah, set some intentions and get clear for the year coming up and reflect on the year that has just been. It's $25 to join and, yeah, there'll be a link in the show notes. And as I'm talking, Spirit want me to channel through. Notice how your body feels over the next couple of weeks. Notice where you're holding tension and anxiety. Our minds can be really whirring really fast right now. There's a lot of energy that is flooding in, especially around the solstice portal energy. So just notice if you're getting anxious, you're overthinking, you feel like you're being pulled in lots of different directions. It is an important time to ground. And, you know, it can be a full-on time of year anyway with family expectations, holiday expectations, getting everything done. But there's also this energy flooding in that is upgrading us as we move towards the end of the year that can also make us feel like we're, yeah, being pulled in lots of different directions and feeling overwhelmed. So if you can, just find those moments of calm, those moments of peace, connect to your breath, and yeah, just take those moments where you can over the next couple of weeks. This perfectly leads me introducing this episode and this week's guest. When I first recorded with Koya, I had all the intention that this episode was going to come out in January 2020. But as we began to start talking about healing generational trauma and family and having difficult conversations with family and dealing with family, that, to be honest with you, I got the instant ping that this episode had to come out before the holiday season and that it would be a great thing to listen to over the holiday season, as for many people, they are with their families. And if you're not with your family, sometimes that can also bring up lots of fears and triggers for you. So Koya is an internationally recognized yoga teacher, celebrity holistic health coach, author, speaker. She is on a big mission to promote daily self-care, oneness, and eco-friendly living to combat some of the world's biggest challenges, including mental health, social injustices, and global warming. And Koya gets really vulnerable in this episode. In fact, at one point during the episode, she's like, I can't believe I'm sharing all this with you. But we talk about her recent journey of looking at generational trauma and family healing. And she shares some really inspirational things around facing your fears, finding your confidence, and how to connect to your inner peace. I love this conversation with Koya. She has such amazing, infectious energy, and it was a real pleasure to chat with her. So enjoy listening to this episode. Hi, Koya. Welcome to So Think You're Intuitive.
Hi, Natalie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad that we managed to schedule this chat. And I've been following your work for a while. And I was like, right, it's time to have Koya on the podcast. I would love her to be a guest.
Well, thank you so much. I think following your intuition and really learning about our intuitive powers is so important. It's something, it's a gift that we all have that a lot of people just aren't aware of. So thank you so much for the work that you do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's just, we just don't realize the power that we have in our own bodies to really unlock our potential and look at our unconscious blocks. And it's funny because I've just recorded an episode, a solo episode, right before recording with you around using our intuition to heal the present moment, because we kind of get too het up of that we should be using our intuition to kind of future tell or look into the future. And for me personally, I really feel that intuition is there for us to like look at the present and look at the past and look at the blocks to heal that. What's your thoughts on using your intuition for that?
Well, I 100% agree and have a little addition to it, but I agree that because, you know, the name of my book is Let Your Fears Make You Fierce. And in there, I talk about how fear is our friend and fear is just showing up to show us places that we need to breathe more love into. And our intuition, once we feel the fear in our intuition is what guides us to the love. Okay, well, this is what I'm dealing with. How do I? And you ask yourself those questions and your intuition spirit answers you. And so in that, it speaks exactly what you're saying. It's just like, how are you to heal family trauma, heal relationships, get the job you want, get the things you want, manifest? How are you to do if you have limiting beliefs and blocks from the past that you still need to heal through? So exactly what you said, we have to do the work, if you will. We have to do the work in each moment. And that's why I do it every day. I tell people it's not just when something comes up or when you're trying to figure something out. It's a daily practice of really doing the work to heal not only yourself. I've been doing the work for like over a decade, but I'm working on, you know, generational trauma and, you know, now working with my family and, you know, uncovering things that might be unconscious that I haven't looked at in different areas of life. So I just feel like it's a beautiful journey. And if we let go of all the guilt and the shame of things that have happened in the past with ourselves or with our families, and we can really realize that we're all doing the best we can. And the more that we heal ourselves, the more compassion we have for others. And the more compassion we have for others, the more we can heal as a collective. And so that's why I like to look at it as, you know, intuition is here to help us heal. Absolutely. And also, once that healing is done, we can then look forward and say, okay, now that that is done, what do I want to create? Now that I've removed these limiting beliefs and I've removed these blocks, now I don't have to keep hitting my head on the wall. But the hitting the head on the wall and the repeat and the repetition of pattern is also feedback, just like fear, that, hey, there might be something that needs a little more love, that needs a little more of your attention. So then you go back to the drawing board and you follow your intuition and figure out, was there something else, you know? And so it's just, it's a fun practice if you're willing to play the game and if you're really to look at it like it's not that the universe is, you know, for you, not against you, then it can be fun. And, you know, it's not always like rainbows and unicorns, but when you get used to doing the work through the tears, which I had a lot of, me and my sister did a 2-day healing weekend this weekend.
Oh, wow.
We cried a lot. We laughed a lot. We danced a lot. And I remember one time I forgot the speaker. I was with a friend and the speaker came on and he said, when you're really living life, when you're really living life to the fullest, you'll laugh every day. You'll cry every day. You'll live every day to the fullest. So I was like, well, I love laughing every day, but I don't want to cry every day. And I really didn't get that. I was like, who would want to cry every day? But now that I'm living life to the fullest, I get it. Because you're going through this range of emotions, even anger sometimes, you know, anger, frustration, laughter, tears. And when you're living fully and you're living not only for yourself, but other people coming your path, you might see someone on the street and you might like resonate with them deeply. And I'm sensitive. So I might see someone on the street and cry for them, you know? And so, yeah. It's true that, you know, living life fully, you go through all the emotions and they're all beautiful. And life is, it could be like a movie, but we do get to play and we do get to take control of our own healing and also take control of our own future.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Because so often we, you know, to bring it back to you talking about generational trauma, we then don't lead the lives that we want to lead because we're stuck in that cycle. We're stuck in that generational trauma of, well, this is the expectation of my family, or this is the level, you know, I'm not allowed to, you know, break through and do something different because of my family. Like so many of us hold those patterns and stories connected to that family. I like to call it the family ancestor story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. And I do. Like, I'm in a position right now, you know, it's the holidays. And, you know, I'm 38. I'm not married. I don't have kids. And there's an expectation on my life, being born in the South, like, that I'm supposed to get married and have kids. And, you know, I breathe into that. I listen to the comments. I invite the questions. Sometimes I engage and sometimes I don't. I set healthy boundaries when I don't want to talk. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I'm not attached to it. Mm-hmm. And I used to be. And I'm still working with it, though, because there is a big part of me that's like, yeah, I think I might want to do that. I'm open to that. And there's a part of me who's like, yeah, I don't know what I really even believe about marriage. And as far as children, I love a lot of children in this world. My nieces and my nephew, I have 11.
Wow.
And I am a mama type figure. And I do look forward to, you know, eventually, whether I birth children or adopt, or eventually having that type of family unit, just for an experience. But I it's interesting how worth is tied around, and success or doing things right is tied around a certain picture, you know, if you will. And so that's something that I personally am breathing through and having compassion for. And also just asking myself, like, what spirit, like, in this lifetime, what do you really want? And I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer for myself right now.
And because it can change. And I mentioned to Koya before I started recording, because I do this with all my guests, is I like write down a couple of key words before coming, before the call starts. And I wrote down like family and home as part of the messaging that we needed to, you know, and ancestors that we needed to talk about in me sharing messages. And I love that the conversation has instantly been directed into that. And us talking about like family and home and motherhood and marriage and, you know, those future goals and dreams and visions, because it's a lot. You know, it's a lot to process, and it's a lot of expectation, especially as women. Like, I'm 37 and I'm not married. I have a partner, but he, you know, and we don't have kids. And I feel you on that, like, expectation of having it all. Like, there's this expectation, especially for women, to, you know, get married, have kids, have success, have it all. And I feel like that it can be so overwhelming.
Yeah, because it's like, I'm happy. Like, I've done all this healing work. And I always wonder, I was talking to my teacher after yoga. And I'm like, man, every day I ask myself, could I feel even better than this? And I do. And then that's how I feel when I start yoga. And then I wonder, can I feel even better than this? And I start meditation, and I did. And then I started breath work, and I felt even better. And, you know, I keep heightening my level of connection with spirit and releasing, you know, all of these stories and pain and trauma. And I'm feeling better and better and better. And I feel like even at this point in a relationship, in a partnership, which, you know, I'm enjoying dating right now, which is a lot of fun. And trying not to, you know, just go in and out of boyfriend relationships, but enjoy the men in my life and the beauty of different men in my life. And that's been fun. And I feel that recently I've asked myself, okay, so, you know, being 38. So do you want to have children? And if you do, what does that look like? And I'm like, I have no idea, but I feel like I have more to offer a relationship from doing the work on myself and have more compassion. And I would be an even better mother to children, whether I have them or adopt, as I am now, than as I would have been when I was 20. I still would have been great if I'd had, I wanted 8 kids out of high school, by the way. That's how much I love children and babies, and still do. I don't necessarily have to birthed them, but I still love children, love taking care of children from the littlest baby to, you know, the all, you know, I just love people actually, but I love the mothering process. I think it's a very sacred experience. Like, and I always compare it to riding a roller coaster. Like, it's exciting. I'm an adventurous. I'm like, yeah, that's an adventure that would be fun to take just because I'm an adventurous. So although it is an adventure that I'm open to take, I have realized over my own healing that I have a lot of blocks to it. And I uncovered that when I wrote my book, because I realized that during my childhood, my mother had gotten sick. And I remember my dad saying, oh, your mother got sick when she had you. And I remember feeling bad about that and feeling it was my fault. And then as I got older, I wonder, am I going to get sick when I have children? And so that's a block, you know, that's an unconscious block against something that I was really excited about, which is children. And so I also realized that those things, and plus I've been through, you know, sexual assault. So that's also an assault that really affected my trust. So I'm very aware that I have physical, you know, and I might still have some unconscious blocks to that marriage and children as well, mm-hmm. you know, whether because I am open to it. So, but I'm aware that each and every time that I'm doing this healing work, I'm aware of more and more blocks that I have that is just like, okay, make sure you heal this. This part of you wants to be healed. And that's why it keeps coming up.
Yeah. And as you say, like when we give ourselves that space to heal, we become better versions of ourselves, which then means that we can attract and be with and be the best version of ourselves to our partner and our kids and, you know, future children, potential future children, and what wants to come through. And that's just, you know, it's a gift that we all have, and that, yeah, that wants to come through. I have a message as you're chatting away. I was like, this is what happens with guests. I was like, oh, there's a message that really wants to come into Koya as she's sharing this. There was one unconscious theme that just, I actually wrote it down as you were talking. There's just, are you happy for me to share it?
Absolutely.
Cool. they were just saying that one of them is, they just use the phrase abandonment, and that's something around like wanting to be with people, like really wanting them to like to be in their energy, but also you needing your own space is really important for you. And so there's this kind of like you not wanting to be the person doing the abandoning, or because that's really important for you to like be in a relationship and have that connection, but have your space. But like there's an underlying fear of, oh my gosh, am I going to be the one having to like step away and not be in that relationship and kind of like cut ties? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so they're just saying like, that's one to kind of look at, because it's the guilt around your mum being ill, but also that feeling of as a kid there's this like wanting more from her, like wanting more connection or wanting more. And so there's this kind of interesting shift of like separation and wanting to be really connected to someone.
Yeah, I can definitely feel that. With both of my parents, I felt like more, and in my youth, I was more connected with my mom because she was home with us all the time and, you know, taking us through, you know, all these beautiful experiences from playing in nature to singing in nature, just being connected to nature and, you know, feeding us fruits and vegetables and making game for us and all this beauty. And I felt like I didn't have a strong connection with my father because it was just like work and home, maybe a meal together. So there was not a connection there. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to California, like I see my family once a year. And so there is definitely a strong connection that's getting strong and that's healing through a lot of the stuff that happened in my youth. But there's also like you know, as you said, like, I definitely need, I call myself an introverted extrovert. Like, I can be around people and I love people, but I have to have a healthy amount of time to myself, to nurture and to process all of the energy that I receive when I'm around people. And so, yeah, it's, you know, even being around my sister, for the weekend, you know, we processed a lot. And by the end of the night, I never get headaches. I've gotten a headache from another client who got migraines when I was doing massage, which is not a great thing to do. If you don't know what you're doing as an empath, then I had no idea what I was doing. And so I was doing massage, but I was taking on, like, and I took on this client's migraine. I massaged another client. I took on this sciatica, not knowing, not on purpose. It just happened.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I feel great. And I was like, I don't. Like, and so I had this massive headache. And then I asked my sister, she's like, I was like, how do you feel? She's like, I feel great. I had this massive headache, but now it's gone. I was like, oh, okay. That's where this headache came from. I was like, goodness, it's massive. She's like, I'm so sorry. I was like, no, it's not your fault. And so I still, and I feel like I do the work that I was taught in grounding down, but I still, from time to time, especially when my heart is open to helping my sister heal, can take on some things unintentionally. So yeah, I that happened this weekend, and I feel like, you know, being that sensitive allows me to help people heal, but also it lets me know that you have to be with people that understand and don't take it personally when you need to have private, like, alone time.
Yeah, it's so important. I've got a technique I can share with you that I love to use that you, I call it the bubble. And it's basically, it's a bubble that you imagine yourself in, but it's got tiny holes in it. So it's not like the traditional, like, I'm in a bubble and I'm not feeling anything. It's like a bubble and you put, it's got tiny holes in it so that you can give your awesome energy out and receive the amazing energy coming into you. But it means that you kind of don't receive and take on all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
I did this meditation one time, and this is the most powerful one I've done for myself and others. And I do it, but I didn't think to do it this weekend with my sister, but I surround myself with clear quartz. And it's like, I visualize myself in this crystal, and that is the most powerful protection. And I've gotten some good feedback from that, from my students and clients, that I've, like, imagine yourself in clear quartz and everything is purified, everything within your energy and outside of your energy, 4 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet. Everything is protected. And that's been the most powerful, but I don't remember to do that. But I'm going to try the bubble too with the holes in it, because that sounds radiant. And I like to visualize myself as the sun, and it seems like I can still give light and receive love, but still have that protection. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing it. That with the clear quartz, because I'm like, people forget that you don't have to be holding a crystal to work with the energy of the crystal. You can just cool in the energy of the crystal. Like, you're looking for some extra protection. Like, you imagine what smoky quartz would feel like, or as you say, or the clear quartz. You can work with it in that way.
Yeah, it's like a cocoon. Like, you're in this cocoon of clear quartz. Like, I've done it with different crystals, but the clear quartz has gotten the biggest feedback for people feeling that protection, mm-hmm. and that clearing of energy, especially negative energy. So
yeah, so powerful.
All these tools.
There are a lot out there, and it's finding what works for you. And that's what I always love to share is, you know, people can subscribe and share so much, but it's about really finding what resonates for you and trying things out. Versus, I know sometimes people get a bit too fixed on, oh, well, this person said it to do it this way, so I've got to do it that way, versus kind of being like, this part works for me, but this bit doesn't, and I'm going to bring a bit of this in. And just having that kind of self-exploration around these tools is so key. I'm just interrupting this episode to let you know about my new online workshop, get gifted. We're all intuitive and can connect to our natural born gifts. We all have seeing, feeling, hearing, and knowing gifts, but some are probably stronger than others. But we can develop each of these gifts to make them stronger. This is why my new online workshop, Get Gifted, is here to help you. Each mini workshop that's part of this series will focus on helping you develop each gift. But to be honest, more importantly, it will help you discover how you like to work with each gift, as we all have our own unique way of working with our intuition. Get Gifted is everything I wish I'd had all in one place when I was first learning. Each workshop consists of how-to videos, practical tools, exercises, and guided meditations. There are also 4 workbooks to go with each section. Payment plans are available, and there's a link to find out more about the workshops and how to sign up in the show notes. Plus, if you'd like to discover how you receive your intuitive guidance, you can take my free online quiz. It will tell you what your strongest gift is and how you can improve all your other gifts. And I'll let you in on a secret. If you do the quiz, you'll receive a discount code on Get Gifted. So if you're ready to develop your intuitive gifts, go and check out Get Gifted.
I 100% agree. Like, I love having friends like yourself. And, you know, we get together like on the new moon and the full moon, and we just share practices and we share what we're going through and we share the new things we've learned. And I think that's how we grow together. And I think it's so important, because even though I'm a teacher, I'm always a student. So, you know, I shared mine. I was like, oh, but I'm going to try yours too, because you never know how, depending on what you're going through, it might be a spiritual message for me from you. And even though I've been doing this one way, this other way might work for this specific time. And so that's why I always have an open heart. And I think one thing that is so important that I share in my book as well is just balancing the chakras and being very in tune, because I feel like that really does help intuition. And that's something I didn't learn in school. I didn't learn in church, you know, growing up as a Southern Baptist, didn't learn about the chakras. So I feel that now I do that every single day and work on, you know, making sure that I'm grounded for, you know, my root, making sure I'm creative for my sacral, making sure I'm standing in my power for my solar plexus, making sure I'm giving and receiving love from my heart, making sure I'm expressing myself from my throat, and making sure that I'm open, I'm doing the work and opening myself to follow my intuition. And when I do that, I'm available for divine guidance. And so when I go through that little every day, I just check each box, each energy center. And that does help me stay open to receiving messages from nature, from people, from everything around me.
Oh yeah, it's so important. And what's your fave way to do that, Koya? Is it just that you kind of just, you personally like to just check in with each center and just see how it feels energetically? How do you personally like to do that?
I check in with each center energetically. I drink tea to go with my different chakras. I have crystals to go with my different chakras. I do it so many different ways because I think it's just so much fun. So in my book, I have a little chart, and in the chart, it says I use aromatherapy. So there is a different essential oil that activates each chakra. So I use essential oils. They're crystals, essential oils, crystals, and then colors. So sometimes, like, I'm going to be on Nashville today, tomorrow, and I want to feel like I'm in my power. So I'm going to wear yellow. Mm. So I use different clothing. It's so much you can use to really activate your different spiritual energy centers. And I use all of those things. But daily when I'm checking in my book, I have this list to check whether you're balanced. Your chakras are overactive, underactive, or balanced. And so once a week, I'll go through and say, oh, is there anywhere I need to, you know, put more energy into? Especially when I'm traveling, usually I'm not grounded because I'm traveling so much. So I'll try to do something like you know, set my crystals up in a specific way or set my bathroom up in a specific way and make me a little place for my morning yoga and meditation. So there's still things you can do, even if you're on a plane, there's still things you can do to make you feel rooted and grounded. Even if you're nomadic, if you're traveling, you can, you know, hold a space and, you know, for creativity, you could dance, you could sing, you could draw, you can paint. And so I do go through each chakra at least once a week and go through the different things you can do to activate each chakra. And I go through that about at least weekly and make sure that I'm on point. But it's almost like breathing second nature for me now, because I can feel like if I ever am not speaking my truth, my voice will start getting a little bit hoarse. If I'm ever feeling ungrounded, I'll feel it. Like I can feel it now more since I've been working with it for a while. And then I'll just say, okay, well, I'm not going out today. I'm going to stay in because I feel like my house is messy. Things are getting scattered. If you feel like you're really messy and the house is really scattered, that means you're not grounded. You're not stable. But when you're home and you're structuring, you're cleaning, you're organizing, you're more grounded, you're more rooted. And so they're just like things like once people have the tools to check in with each chakra, they'll be able to see like, okay, do I feel like I'm expressing myself or feel like, man, I don't really know how to speak up in this situation. That means that you need to wear the color blue and, you know, work on, you know, what do you feel? How do you feel? What do you want to say? And just writing those things down. So there's so many exercises that you can do. And that's what I share in my book, little exercises you can do if you find one of the chakras or one of your energy centers blocked or, you know, underactive.
Oh, I love that. Wow. Yeah, that sounds amazing to have that in your book as an amazing exercise and tool for people. I so feel you on the messiness of your stuff is everywhere and it really impacts me. Like yesterday I woke up and I was like, right, this place is a mess. It's making me feel ungrounded. We have to tidy everything. You know, it was a real kind of like gut job. And then when it's done, you're like, ah, yeah, I feel so much better.
Yes, it's so amazing. My sister was over and before she came, I got all these boxes because I want to, you know, instead of throwing all my family's food away that's, you know, not healthy, I'm like, I'm just going to crowd out. I'm just going to give them all healthy. So I bought like all these dressings and vegan cheese and vegan yogurts. And I'm just going to stock everyone's fridge with all these yummy, delicious things they cannot give up. Like everyone has the hardest time giving up like condiments and cheese and stuff like that. So I took the liberty of buying all this stuff in pasta. Like I have like four different types of pasta, chickpea pasta. And because my family loves pasta and bread, you know. And so I bought all this stuff. So I have like at least 20 to 30 boxes. I hope one day we figure out how to ship things without all this cardboard boxes. Oh, just maybe yes. Bags that are reusable would be great. But I have massive amount of boxes all over my kitchen. And half of them are broken down, half of them are. And so my sister comes over, we're having these amazing healing sessions. And right before dinner, she is on the dishes and I'm on the boxes. And if it wasn't for her, like and I told her, I was like, if it wasn't for you just helping me, I don't know if I would have gotten this done today, you know? And it felt so good. And now, you know, there's a stack that couldn't fit in the trash outside, you know, against the wall, but the kitchen is immaculate and it's clean. And it just feels so good to not only have her help me, but just, we felt we had even more beautiful space to breathe into without having that clutter in the house.
Yeah. And big healing. Koya, you're such a catalyst for change in your family. Like that's why you've had to go, you know, moving away and having that separation and doing the healing is because you're such a catalyst for change for others and which then impacts your family. And it's like the message that wants to come through is it's like now they're ready to receive the information of how you can support them and be that catalyst for change, but in the past that they weren't ready for it. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. 110%. I text my sister after she left and she told me she made it home safe. And I said, Tonya, that was the most amazing time we've ever spent together. No. And we only went out to eat once, you know, but we got food and we cooked together and we did breath work and meditation and yoga. And we just talked and we did a lot of healing work that I do in my private sessions, but we did it together, not me doing to her like her coach, but she shared her affirmations. I shared mine. She shared her letters. I shared mine. Like, we did it together and we laughed together. We cried together. It was so beautiful. And I had a 2-hour conversation with my brother that was equally as beautiful about relationships. Like, he's basically similar to one of the main guys that I'm dating. And I am similar to one of the women he's dating. So we're like giving each other perspective of the other person. It was so beautiful. And like, I saw his side and he saw mine. It was just so amazing just to have that connection with them. And then I had another like hour long conversation with my dad, and my sister got so scared because me and my dad are very powerful. Mm-hmm. And when we talk, everyone gets nervous because that they feel the energy in the room, you know, and it's so much power, right? Yeah. And so I'm at a space in my life is I don't back down. I don't get scared. I speak my truth more than I ever have before. And now I have a lot of spiritual tools to back it up. Mm-hmm. And so my sister at one point tried to interrupt her. I was like, it's okay. And then I proceeded and my dad was like, it's okay. And we were understanding each other not for the first time, but exactly like you said, it's like he was ready to hear something different. And although he didn't agree with everything that I had to say, he listened and he received it, and some things that he never agreed with before, he actually agreed with. And that was like, oh my God, it was just the most just
so powerful
fresh air I've ever received talking to him. It was amazing. So I 100% received that message because I feel that they are ready and I'm ready and I'm patient too, because I said coming in, no matter what, me sharing is not depending on anyone receiving. I am just going to share because that's who I am. And I'm going to love my family, whether they receive it or not. I'm going to just love them for who they are, where they are, knowing that everyone has their journey and transformation when they have it, not in my time, just in their time that they choose.
Oh, that's so powerful, Koya. And I love the way you just said, you know, I'm gonna share and it's not dependent on the receiving. I think we forget that. We have like an expectation of what we want that person to take from it versus just that I'm gonna speak my truth and I have to do this. So that's a powerful reminder for people.
Absolutely. I feel that when you take it personally, whether someone receives or agrees with you or not, it's like you're setting yourself up for disappointment. But if you just put it out there, put your opinion, your sharing, your how you feel about a certain thing, whether it be good or not so good, and you just share it, someone might even not get it then. They might get it next week or next year or 5 years. You never know. But if then you leave the conversation feeling unheard and like, oh, that they don't even care, then it's like you're taking a negative from the situations versus taking a positive, which would be, I shared, I did my part, and I let the chips fall where they may. And then you see it's the same situation, same conversation, but you're leaving it feeling like accomplished for doing your part rather than defeated because you don't think, which is an assumption, that they got it or heard you. So yeah, it's a way that I feel like a lot of people who want to do good but get really frustrated with their family or their loved ones who they don't feel like understand them or get them, it's a way that they can have peace of mind.
Yeah, it's so beautiful because you don't realize sometimes you have these conversations with people and you think you haven't got a reaction or that they haven't bought into the information. And then they say to you like a year later, like, oh, do you remember that time when you said this to me? Like, it really stuck with me and I've really been processing it. And then you're like, oh, wow, I just didn't realize that that had had such an impact on you. I thought that you just thought that I was, you know, that you didn't agree with it or it didn't have an impact. So yeah, you just never know. It's you just got to keep expressing freely and just, yeah, that's, it's so important.
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, the more that we share and, you know, follow the four agreements, you know, mm-hmm. always do your best, never take things personally, don't make assumptions. And I forgot the last one. Don't take anything personally. Something I think I said that one. But like I have people read that because it's like when you live in that way, and I know it's not always easy, especially when it comes to, you know, intimate relationships and you want to be on the same page, right? About something mm-hmm. like me and my brother were talking about, like me and the person that I'm dating and him and the person he's dating, completely love and adore each other, but completely different pages, right? Mm-hmm. Of what we actually want in this moment. And just being able to acknowledge those differences and say, well, this is what it is, and that's okay. And you give yourself like this peace, like we can have peace. Anyone listening to this playback can have peace in this moment from any irritation, any frustration they're feeling right now, if they choose to surrender and let go of control and just say, I know what's best for me will be. So I know what's best for me will be. And just let go.
Yeah. And especially with the holidays and people turning on the news and being triggered and reacted with what's happening in, you know, not just across the US, but in world politics. It's draining, especially as sensitive, intuitives, empaths. It's a lot to carry. It's a lot to, you know, to deal with.
It is so much. And something that has just been, oh yes, put on my plate is just, you know, systematic oppression and, you know, the racism and all of these things happening. And it's heavy. Mm-hmm. Boy, is it heavy, especially being sensitive. But what I realize is that I have to be willing. I have this clarity. I have this mental clarity around love. And if I'm not willing to talk about it, who is?
Mm.
Who is? And so I have to talk about it. And I have to talk about it when it's uncomfortable. And I had a group that I was with, and someone said something that was offensive. It could be taken offensively. Because I've been in a lot of situations, I don't take things personally, but I'm aware that as a person who wants to be, you know, anti-racist, you mm-hmm. know, that means speaking up when I hear something that could be offensive to maybe not me, but someone else, and say something about it. Because I think that's not happening in the police force. It's not happening where we're seeing people getting, you know, especially when it comes to officers, they're around, they're making these jokes that's showing that they're in a fear state, right? And no one's saying anything, but it's happening all around us. Even in our spiritual circles, I'm in a spiritual circle. Someone's saying something that's offensive. So I mentioned, like, you know, that could be taken as an offense. Oh, well, I'm not raised. I'm not this. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to mention it. I love you. I'm not taking it personally, you know, and it's hard because then people think you're separating. And I got a lot of backlash for that, you know, just mentioning that it could be offensive. And so I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for this. I'm ready. But it was heavy. And I had a little bit of trauma around it. And I sat with it. I breathed through it. I let it come up. I was like, okay, that's uncomfortable. My pits are sweating. It's not fun, you know?
Right.
And I, you know, got a couple messages and I was like, okay, let me breathe into this and see what can I do. And I think that's what we have to do, especially when it comes to these world things. Like you said, we as light workers, we don't have to, but if we choose to, it's courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people like Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and, you know, Malcolm X, and that's exceptional. And we don't have to choose that, but I'm choosing it because I know I'm strong. And I know I've done the work and I haven't always chosen. I don't want to ruffle any fur. I don't want to talk about that stuff. It's so uncomfortable and everyone gets upset, but It's like if someone who's not for love and for oneness is talking about it in a massive way, who's going to talk about it?
True that. And it's so important to talk about this in spiritual circles. Like there's this energy of like, oh, well, we shouldn't be talking about that. This is a separate thing. And it's like, no, we, you know, as you say, for people talking about oneness and spirituality, we have to be talking about this because this is what's happening in this world, in this plane. And it's
right now.
Yeah.
It's not all about just manifesting and just being aligned. And, you know, a lot of the trauma that we are experiencing is because of systematic oppression and because of, you know, we're all, most of the world, we are part of religion. Most of us have grown up, and I do say most, I think I'm right in this, or have grown up Christian and grown up in the church. You know, I say most, of course, I know not all, but, and people have used different parts of that religion for control and for manipulation. And so there's been a disconnect with spirit. And now as spiritual teachers, we're trying to reconnect.
Yeah.
You know, and so if we're not talking about the systems that were put in place to control and oppress, then we are not talking about the truth. And if we are not talking about the truth, we can't heal it. I always say you have to reveal it to heal it. And if you're afraid to reveal it, then how are you going to heal it?
Oh, I love that. Reveal it to heal it. That's, yeah. Yeah, and we do, and this is the energy of what's around right now is as we move into 2020 and what's coming, what I feel personally that's coming down the pipeline is we have to look at the structures, we have to look at these systems because no more, like we can't, we're being given an amazing, beautiful opportunity to rework this and to stand up and to change and look at this oppression.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I feel like the more that we look at it, the more that, and the more, especially us as like workers, the more we talk about it, we can heal it in that spiritual one. Because at the end of the day, I feel like we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. But if we are all going back to, okay, let's connect with spirit and let's live from that space, well, this one thing is being left out. But we're hitting on all cylinders on everything else. Can't we hit on this cylinder? Why would we leave that out? You know? And so I do believe us talking about it in our spiritual spaces, it's going to help us take it back to our communities and heal, you know, one by one, heal ourselves first, because I think we have to heal, you know, on a personal level first, and then we can heal our families. And then that's what trickles out into the world around us. So I'm dedicated to being uncomfortable in 2020 because I'm going to be tackling those tough conversations, you know, with friends and family. And, you know, even with my brother, we were talking about, you know, the ancestral trauma that we were experiencing. We were putting it out on a table, like what we inherited from our family, like what I have inherited, what he has inherited, like things, and just sharing it, no judgment, just sharing so that we can look at it. And then after looking at it and then saying, I don't want to continue that way. I'm going to be different. And then we can heal it. And then it's different. But if we never bring it up, we're just doing it. And unconsciously, we might not even realize there was so many things that we brought up that we're like, no, you're right. You know, you're right, you know, and so that's the healing taking place that a lot of people don't realize, or a lot of people might not want to say anything because they don't want to ruffle any feather. That it does need to be in a space of love, you know, and non-judgment. But once that happens, the massive amount of healing in a family that can happen is miraculous. It really is.
Yeah, and it trickles through and it opens people's perspectives and yeah, you might meet people that are like, nope, I'm not getting involved. But as you say, you have to express what you need to express and let them receive it and see what comes in. And just a segue into a bit of a message, it's so powerful, Koya, that this is happening for you now, all this family work and all this ancestral healing. It's so beautifully timed that it's happening this side of 2020 because it just is allowing you to kind of bring in what you're calling in for 2020. But this work, this connection and family healing, like, is so divinely timed for that it's happening now, so that you can, as you say, have these conversations to a wider public and more in a public sphere, and be a figurehead and be a leader in it.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I say yes.
Yeah,
I'm ready, and that's what really feels good, I think, because I have run a little bit. You know, I've been very aware of spirit speaking to me and my intuition telling me what I was going to do. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that yet. That's so heavy. Like, it's a lot. No. And it's like, okay, so, and now are you ready? And now are you ready? And I was like, okay, yes,
mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
You're going to be having such a voice in 2020. Like, you're going to surprise yourself what comes out of your mouth, and you're going to be like, did I just say that? Like, really?
That's how I feel even on this conversation. I was just like, am I just sharing all of this very recent information? And I think that too is like, I never want to share things as I'm going through them. I always want to share them as they're done, because I really didn't like people's opinion on what I should do, because I do follow spirit and intuition. But sharing things that are so fresh is something that I heal through in writing my book, because I shared a lot of trauma I'd never shared before. Even sharing things in my book that I never shared with my family, and now having to talk about it because now it's public,
yeah,
you know, public domain. Like I was in a dark space, and I didn't even realize how dark a space I was in until I came out of it just recently. So my book launched in June, and I was in a dark space. And here I'm still teaching, I'm still doing the things, I'm still traveling, but I was in a dark cloud, in like a shadow, because I was healing through the stuff that I wrote and being able to deliver it and share and talk about it. And it was uncomfortable. It was very, very uncomfortable. You know, and I'm just getting to a point where, okay, I'm healing enough that it's not so uncomfortable, you know? And I think it's like when you start a workout, you're kind of sore when you first get started. You're like, ugh, this is kind of heavy. Or when you start yoga for the first, when you start anything, you know, riding a bike, you fall a couple times and you feel you're like, okay, I just fail. I'm not going to do that again. And I feel like that's the same way when you start the spiritual work, and when you start kind of sharing your authentic self, you say some things that you're like, ah, yeah, actually, I don't know about that, you know, and you get scared, and you're like, oh, you know what, I got kind of slammed when I mentioned this thing, not going to mention it anymore, right? And so part of that maturity and part of the learning is saying, you know what, that was uncomfortable, and I did fall, but I know this is the right thing to do, so I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to dust myself out, I'm going to keep pushing forward in the direction of love. And that's what I've promised myself. And I'm not going to, because I, you know, and so I went to Egypt, and the ancestors said, you wrote that book for yourself. You understand that, right? Like, your fears make you fierce. You have so much fear, and you've done all this work, and you've done a great job, and you've recorded a lot, but you still have so much fear in stepping fully into your authentic power. And so are you ready? And I had to say yes. but it's like, you know, they were like, you're just scratching the surface. Like,
really,
like a fourth of what you're going to be doing in this lifetime. And I was like, okay,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was just feeling good, and I just got this book out, and now you're telling me that I'm just getting started.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, Arcoya. Like, this is. Like, what you've just been doing is creating the grounding and the platform and the rooting and the healing. And now this book and this 6-month period has just peeled back the onion so many layers that there's just now you're actually stepping into the version of you that wants to come out and wants to lead and wants to speak up and wants to share. And it's going to be, the next 5 years are just, ooh, hold on to your hat.
Thank you. I'm ready. It's like already in the last month, I've been shocked by my strength, to be honest, in some conversations. And I'm like, oh, wow, you really said no. Like, you, yes, girl. you actually said no and strongly. And this time you just said no and left it, which is something you never do. And this is, you said no and you gave specific reasons why it was a no and it wasn't ever going to be a yes. That is powerful. And that is not, I'm a people please. I have transitioned from being a people pleaser and a yes girl to being very much aware of what is for me and what is not, and being able to articulate that. Because I think it's one thing to feel it, but I think when you are able to articulate it, it's really able to help other people. And so I've been able to navigate my life that I'm living now through following my intuition and following my spirit. And now I'm learning how to articulate what it is that I'm feeling, what it is that I've been doing, so that others can tap into their own intuition as well. And they can take those steps to heal and follow their intuition.
Oh, so beautiful. And just to add one more quick thing in before we wrap it up, but I just wanted to say
I could talk to you forever.
I was about to say I could talk to you for exactly. I was like, oh, there's so much I want to chat with Koya. The other thing was is that now you also have the confidence to call in the support team, like to call in the conscious partner that you want in, and call in the family and call in that support so that you can do what you want in life, but also kind of have that support network. Because sometimes it's like, oh, I don't need to be a lone wolf to make that happen. There's this confidence of having that partnership around you whilst you thrive. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel that so strongly right now. It's like, basically, the download that I've gotten is that whatever you desire, you can create. It's up to you. But there's going to be pros and cons to everything. You know, don't look for this silver lining, right? It'll be a silver lining. It's going to be some rain. And then you're going to see a rainbow. And then it's going to be clear, and then it's going to be some more rain, you know, and that's life. And I like to, I was in a seminar at this church in San Diego, I think it was 2016. And the minister spoke about, you know, life being a school and how, you know, you go through a grade and you take a test and you go to the next grade. And go through and take, and it's similar to life. And because I think some people are waiting, like, okay, once I have the family, or once I do this, everything's going to be okay. And once I get this job, or once I have this amount of money, everything's going to be perfect. But the thing is, you know, you're maturing, and you're getting these, you're crossing these milestones, if you will. And it's like going to the next grade, but you're still going to have these tests. You're still going to have these challenges. You're still going to have people in your class that are at a different level that bring you different awarenesses. And then you go to the next, and then you go to college, you know, that's a whole new world, you know, and then, you know, it's like going to a relationship, and then it's going into family dynamics, then it's going into maybe even parenthood, or, you know, whatever it is. I feel like there is a set of challenges with anything that you do. And if we commit with just, you know, finding the love in all situations, but not feeling like, you know, anyone, I think sometimes, you know, especially with Instagram, with us posting our highlights of our lives, sometimes people, especially young people, I think, can have the assumption that, okay, if I just look like this, wear this, do this thing, say this thing, have this kind of success, then that's it. I'm going to be happy and everything's going to be great. And I think the reality is that the more that you grow and the more that you know, the more you're going to be called to shine that light, because it's just, everything is just energy. And the more energy that you have, the more energy you're expected to emit. If you're the sun, you're expected to emit the energy of the sun. If you're a star, you're expected to emit that energy. So whatever you're wanting to evolve as, there's a balance. There's a delicate balance, to quote Lion King, delicate balance in life, you know? And so, yeah, you know, I'm calling for this expansion of platform. Well, there are going to be a lot of challenges that come up to make sure that I'm really hold space for myself and for others that are wanting to just really raise their vibrations in this way. And so I have to be willing to say yes. Not at the first sign of conflict, go back to the third grade. Yeah. And go hide under my desk, you know. I have to, you know, say, all right, let's get our life jackets. Let's get out, let's get our flashlight. Let's go at this, you know. If I want to be a leader in this space. And so that's what I've been kind of preparing myself, I feel like, for the last decade almost, if you will. As you said, I feel like it's been massive preparation and massive healing, you know, myself, that I've had to undergo to be able to hold space and be able to not be perfect, but lead. And I think, you know, it does take a lot of courage. And I commend people like yourself and other people out there who have said, you know, I will lead in this way. I will guide in this way, because I know it's not easy.
No, it isn't. And as you say, you just have to keep shining and keep learning and evolving and healing and doing the life journey and the human experience and being open to what you need to learn and look at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, Koya, such a pleasure to chat with you. This conversation has so many gems to it.
I can't wait. I can't wait to share with our communities.
Where can people find you, Koya? Where's the best way to find you? And obviously, your book out is, you know, go and get Koya's book, Let Your Fears Make You Fierce. Where can people find you?
You can find me on koyaweb.com, koyaweb.com. And I'm on Instagram, I'm very active on Instagram. I answer all my DMs at Koya Webb. And then my company, Get Loved Up, which is, you know, love yourself, love others, and love the planet, in that order. It's all about building a community and really helping people through that nurturing process. So Koya Webb and Get Loved Up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those fun social media things. I try to keep it easy. And my website, I have a Get Loved Up University, where I have meditation, yoga, chakra work, recipes, plant-based recipes. And then my book, Let Your Fears Make You Fierce, is on holiday sale right now. So I don't know when this is coming out, but it's a really huge discount at the moment. And it's in physical copy, ebook, and audio. So hopefully something for everybody.
Amazing. Thank you, Koya. I'm so excited to share this episode with everyone. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your magic and the light and being so open and vulnerable. It's been amazing.
Well, thank you for having this platform, and thank you for having me on. It means the world to me. And I appreciate, you know, light workers like yourself just opening up the space to lift others up, because I think the more that we support each other, the more we grow together, and we all want to be seen and heard and loved. And you've done that for me today. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode with Koya Webb. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. We would love to hear from you and get your thoughts and opinions on the episode. So please reach out to us. You can connect with us on our Instagram, I am Natalie Miles, or in Koya's Instagram, Koya Webb. And if you feel called, please give the podcast a 5-star review and leave some words on the Apple iTunes platform. Thanks for listening to the podcast this year. I am really excited about the direction that this podcast is going to go on during 2020. I am going to be releasing an episode Wednesday, January 1st. It's going to be the January upgrade message and the 2020 overview message that is going to be released on January 1st. So yeah, something to look forward to start the year ahead. Have an amazing holiday season, and I will be back with you in 2020.